Hey friends, welcome back to the Grace and Grit Mindset Podcast, and I'm Shanna Williams, and it's been a couple weeks, so I wanted to jump on here with you and encourage you today. I'm always trying to speak to you from where I am, as opposed to, I don't know, some made up fantasy place that I don't have problems. I'm incredibly honest, and I try to be authentic as I can be, because I want you to understand that you are not alone and there's nothing wrong with you, and no one else is better than you are just because they have a platform ministry or they're a speaker or they're a teacher. The truth is, we all struggle and we all hit these areas of our life that are so hard, and sometimes we just don't know how to get through, and we have to learn lessons. We all have to learn these lessons, and sometimes some of us are stronger than others in certain areas. So your struggle may look a little different than me and my struggle, but the bottom line is that we all have a struggle of some sort. So whatever it is that you're going through right now, I want to encourage you that God knows exactly what it's going to take to teach you that lesson. And it's not out of cruelty. It's not out of him being annoyed with you, like a teacher who just gets annoyed with the student. It's out of his love and concern and care for you. And I think when we can really wrap our mind around that and our heart around it, we can trust that whatever situation we might be in, he's allowed it, and he's allowed it because he is teaching us something. He's revealing something about himself to us. Or we're on a journey with him and we're discovering things. Some lessons are a lot harder than others. And if you've had a chance to get my book, Choosing Better, that's what the book is all about. It's really about these lessons that we have to learn. As a matter of fact, I'll just read you the back of the book so I can say it better as I have written it, then try to remember. Most of us never intended to spend our lives circling the same mountains, yet many of us do. We circle fear, we circle anxiety, we circle insecurity, striving, bitterness, and doubt, replaying the same struggles again and again while wondering why real change always seems just out of reach. Can you relate to that? Like, you want change, but it just feels like you can never get there. That's why I wrote this book. But what if the mountain you're circling was never meant to be your destination? In Choosing Better, I'm inviting readers on a powerful journey of renewing the mind and breaking free from the patterns that keep us stuck. With honesty, biblical wisdom, and deeply personal stories, I will uncover the hidden beliefs that shape our lives and reveal how God invites us into the transformation and a better way of living. It's a path of truth, a path of renewal, a path that begins with a single decision, because transformation rarely happens all at once. Sometimes it begins with one quiet choice, choosing better. And friends, that is the truth right there. Just because you get saved and you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you turn your life over to God does not mean that you're instantaneously delivered from all of your character flaws. I wish it were true, but we know that Romans 12, 1 and 2 teaches that there's a transformation that has to happen. There's a renewing of the mind that has to happen so that we can prove what is the perfect, acceptable will of God. And it hurts. Being molded hurts. Being a piece of clay in God's hands, it can hurt. Another analogy, being refined like silver can hurt because that involves heat. So whatever way you want to use an analogy to describe symbolically what this feels like, the bottom line is it hurts. It hurts because as bad as we would like to be instantly changed, we are not. We are instantly delivered by his love, by his power, and we're no longer under the domain of darkness. We're under his kingdom, and we have eternal salvation and life with him forever, and we have access to him. But that does not mean we don't have these struggles, these growing pains, I think is would be the best way to describe it, because scripture says that when we're born again, we become a new creation in Christ, a new creation. And so the old person is still kind of dying away. And I think what's happening is we're having these moments of decision. Do I want to live under my flesh's control and the way that my old mind used to think and how it controlled me and be led by my feelings? Or do I want to live as the new creation that God has made me to be, which is going to be like the mind of Christ, which is going to be someone who has humbled themselves under God and his power, but they know that he loves them and they're working with him, they're surrendered. And when you live like that, even though it's hard, these lessons are hard, I think that there's still a grace for it, because you are humbled to it and you are receiving from God what you need. So I thought today, in line with all that I just said, I want to share with you and I'm so honest, you know, I told you that I'm so honest. I want to share with you the biggest, I believe, character, I guess you could call it character flaw, or thing that I struggle with the most that God has had to really renew my mind about, is faith, or a lack thereof. Most of my life, I've tended to be afraid of things. And there are reasons for that. I'm going to actually read you chapter 1 in my book, because it says it so much better than what I could say right now. Because when I wrote it, it was so from my heart and it was so real, and it perfectly captured this idea of choosing faith over fear and how challenging that can be when your whole life you have been afraid. Maybe because of trauma or because of disappointment or because of just bad things happening all the time, it's very easy to develop a lifestyle of fear. And so there's a transformation that has to take place in our thinking where we choose faith over fear. So I'm going to read chapter 1 to you. I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that it brings you some encouragement. This chapter is called When Fear Learns Your Name. Faith Over Fear is the subtitle. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. That's Isaiah 41:10. His name was Jack, and he was a jerk. Actually, that's not his real name, but me being the kind person I am, and also wanting to not get sued, I changed his name just a wee bit. Jack bullied me all during my second and third grade school years. I remember feeling sick every day. Huge knots formed in my stomach because I never knew how he would torture me. Would he push me around, corner me when no one was watching, physically assault me in some way? One thing was for sure, it would always involve his foul breath and some level of verbal abuse. It was a wretched way to spend those most crucial formative years of my childhood. It changed me in ways I could never have imagined. When you're a child, experiences like that shape how you see the world. Fear quietly settles into new corners of your heart, and it becomes familiar, expected, almost normal. You look for bullies everywhere. You just expect them. Oddly enough, I wish I could say that the Jack situation was my only bullying experience, but it wasn't. My first job at 16 brought bullying. What began as a good experience quickly became a nightmare. The owner, who was also my supervisor, bullied me. She called me names, screamed at me, and accused me of stealing money from the register. Imagine my relief and satisfaction when it turned out the girl before me had been stealing money before my shift started. Her cruel mistreatment only confirmed my belief that I was weak and deserved unkind words and intimidation. That kind of pressure seemed to follow me everywhere. Maybe I was just intellectually deficient and didn't measure up. Most days, I felt that way. And for a long time, I thought fear was simply part of my personality. Fear of mistreatment from others. fear of what could go wrong, fear of unkind words, fear of doing something wrong. I thought maybe I was just wired that way. Someone who worried more, someone who felt things more deeply, someone who always expected something to go wrong. After years of counseling, therapy, prayer, and learning to know God, something shifted. I saw that fear isn't part of our personality. Since you're reading this or listening, you might struggle with fear too, maybe seeing it as part of your personality. What sad stories have you buried deep inside that shaped who you are now? Or do you simply believe that's just who you are? Somewhere along the way, the story didn't just happen to you, it became you in some strange way. And I know that feeling all too well. And I know how real it can feel to believe that this is just the way I am. But I want to tell you something. Those words are, in fact, a big, huge, fat lie. We may be more prone to giving in to fear because of what we've experienced, and trauma shapes us and pain influences us, but fear is not part of our identity. It's a learned response. And what we learn can be unlearned. For many years, I felt something bad was always about to happen. Maybe you know that feeling. You're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Even when things are going well, there's a voice whispering, okay, what's next? What terrible thing is coming now? And that mindset becomes exhausting. It makes it nearly impossible to enjoy life because you are always bracing for the next disaster. For a long time, I even believed this fear might somehow be spiritual. I thought maybe it was God was just warning me. I thought the reason I felt afraid all the time was that something terrible really was about to happen, and I needed to prepare myself. I needed to pray. But looking back now, I can see how warped that thinking was. But when fear becomes normal to you, it is hard to recognize it for what it really is. Does that sound all too familiar to you? That began to change when I looked closely at what Scripture says about fear. One key passage for me was 2 Timothy 1:7. Paul is writing to Timothy, someone he loves almost like a son. Timothy has stepped into ministry leadership. Paul is encouraging him. This letter is even more powerful because Paul writes from prison. It will likely be one of his last before his death. And yet, in the middle of that situation, Paul writes something remarkable. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul, writing from prison and facing an unknown future, tells Timothy not to be afraid. His message is clear. Fear is not from God. The Greek word is delia, and it refers to timidity, cowardice, or trembling fear. It paints the picture of someone constantly anxious, shrinking back, and overwhelmed by dread. It's not just someone who's a little nervous. While studying this word, I could not help but think about my dearly departed dog, Lex. She had severe anxiety. I'm talking debilitating. Her entire body trembled when she was afraid. Thunderstorms send her into complete panic. Car rides make her sick. Loud noises make her shake so hard it breaks your heart to watch. Her whole body reacts as though something terrible is happening, even when nothing is. I realize many of us live like this. Maybe we are not visibly trembling, but inside we constantly brace for danger. We keep preparing for disappointment and always expect something bad. But Scripture tells us this trembling spirit of fear is not from God. Instead, God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Some translations call it self-control, others say discipline. I love what the Amplified Version says, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. I think, in short, this says God gives us a calm disposition in the face of fear. I picture Jesus on the sea with the disciples, and the storm arose while he was sleeping. They freaked out, panicked, lost their minds, but he didn't. He got up, calmly dealt with the situation, and went on with his life. We don't see him sitting on the boat, trembling because he saw the storm forming, begging God to do something, and afraid that God wouldn't help him. He was calm, cool, and collected. That is the shift we need to make, and our flesh will fight us for sure. Shifting from fear to faith is not just a matter of the spirit. There's also a physical aspect. When we live in fear, our bodies respond as if in constant danger. Our fight or flight response stays active. Our nervous system remains on high alert. Our body acts as though something threatens us, even when nothing does. Living in this state of alarm makes it very difficult to hear God. I learned this during one of the hardest seasons of my life. I was facing intense pain, and my anxiety was so great that I could barely think clearly. I needed to hear from the Lord, but my mind raced and I couldn't calm down. Someone suggested something simple: set a timer for 20 minutes and just breathe. So simple, yet so difficult to do. And that sounded ridiculous to me, but I was desperate enough to try anything. I sat outside, set the timer, and began deep breaths in for 4 counts, hold, out for 4. Again and again. My body fought it at first. Every part of me wanted to run, to escape, but I stayed. I kept breathing, kept checking my watch as the minutes dragged by. It felt like an eternity. When the timer went off, my body relaxed. My fingers tingled and my arms felt like limp noodles. I sat quietly and soon heard the Lord speak clearly and directly. He gave me a word that led me to the exact scripture I needed. I simply needed stillness to hear him. Fear creates noise. Faith creates space. When our minds are racing with worst case scenarios, we leave no room for God to speak. But when we slow down and become still before him, something begins to change. We remember that we are not victims. We remember that God is still in control, and we remember that fear does not get to define us. Fear is its own kind of bully. It has a loud mouth, gets in your face, threatens you, corners you, and tries to convince you that you are powerless and at risk. Fear breeds intimidation so close to your mind that if you're not careful, you start believing its lies. But fear is still a liar. And just like Jack or my horrible boss did not have the authority to define me, fear does not have the authority to define me or you either. Faith does. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the decision to trust God in the presence of fear. It is choosing to believe his voice over the voice that threatens you. It is refusing to let intimidation narrate your life. It is learning over time that fear may speak loudly, but it does not speak with the authority of God. And once you begin to recognize fear for what it really is, you can stop bowing to it. You can stop letting it bully you into shrinking back from the life God has called you to live. You can begin choosing something better. You can begin choosing faith. So friends, that is chapter 1 in my book, and it is written from such an honest place that is really kind of the message of my life. One of the messages of my life has been this struggle with fear since I can remember, and it's been hard, and I wish that I could tell you that I just, you know, woke up when I was 38 and it was over and I was fine, but I've noticed that it actually has gotten worse because I let it grow. Because when we let it grow, it gets more powerful, it controls us more, it almost becomes our God. So we have to make a choice, okay? Which one of these do I want to let grow, my faith or my fear? And if you're going to choose faith, it's going to take a lot of effort because you've created, let's just get really scientific about it. You've created these neural pathways in your brain that constantly take you down this fear road. it's just second nature to you at this point. It's not who you are, but you've done it so much that it's almost like muscle memory, and your brain just instantaneously goes, hey, let's be afraid. Something bad is about to happen. This is always what happens. So those kind of thoughts are what control our brain when we've lived in this place of fear or luck, whether it be because someone's constantly traumatized us or we've gone through something horrible, something we just can't get over. And we find ourselves just really struggling to have faith. I don't feel like God's condemning us for that. I think he understands, but he wishes and he hopes and he presents these opportunities to us to grow in our faith. And that's what I want to leave you with, is to say, hey, what if this situation you keep facing over and over and over, and let's just say it has to do with fear. Maybe it's fear of maybe your job. Maybe it's fear of a relationship ending. Maybe it's fear of, it could be so many things. Maybe it's a disease that you're afraid, you know, you might have. And those are all legitimate. I'm not saying that they don't warrant you to be concerned and to find yourself like, oh, wow, if God doesn't come through, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But what I have a problem with and what I think I've learned is a problem for me is when that thing becomes so powerful that it holds so much space in my heart and mind that I can't even hear God anymore. And the problem becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and God becomes smaller because I am so overwhelmed and so afraid of what could happen. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of times what could happen did happen. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you're just imagining the worst case scenario, probably won't happen. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's been true some of the time, but a lot of the time it hasn't been true. Sometimes, actually, something worse happened than what I even imagined. So I can't use that as my gauge to say, oh, I shouldn't worry about this or be afraid because it probably won't happen. That doesn't work for me. My brain's like, oh, remember that time, though? Something happened and it was actually worse than what you thought it was going to be. And that's been multiple times in my life. So I can't say that, you know, but I can say there have been a lot of times where it didn't. So that's even something you can challenge in your brain is go, okay, yeah, there were a few times that something worse did happen, but there were a lot of times when it didn't and what I was worried about didn't happen. So even those kind of things where your brain just wants to go to the fear, it just wants to go to the panic. And I think it's to protect us. Your brain is not meant to make you comfortable. It's meant to keep you alive. So if it thinks there is a threat, if it thinks there is danger, it's going to continue bringing that up to you until you show it and you teach your brain and you show your body that this is not a threat. And this is what I want to say concerning those things that are situations that look really bad and you find yourself afraid. And let's just say the worst possible thing happens, or even worse than what you thought. The truth of it is even though that may happen, God is still going to take care of you. God is still going to provide. God is still going to be with you. He's going to walk with you through it. Just like the disciples being caught in the storm, they probably couldn't have imagined, hey, he told us to cross over. So like, if he's telling us to cross over, then nothing bad's going to happen. And they get in the middle of the sea and this horrible storm is threatening to kill them and he's asleep. And so this is like a worst case scenario. But even in that, he's with them and he wakes up and at the right time, he calms the sea. So my thought about that is he's trying to teach them faith. He's trying to teach them trust. So just like us, we are all finding ourselves in situations, and something I've noticed is this same situation keeps happening in my life over and over and over and over, especially the last 4 or 5 years. But honestly, I could say the last 20 years. But in the last 4 or 5 years, it has been nonstop. And it feels like it's never going to end. And it feels like it's the same story on a loop. And I'll think okay, it's over now, but then it just happens again, and then I think it's over now, and it happens again. And it's exhausting, to be honest with you. And Mike and I went to dinner with some friends the other night, and we were talking about that, and we were talking about flipping the script in our mind and saying, okay, I see the bad things that are happening and this hurts, but what are the good things that God is doing? What are the good things that he's teaching me? Or what am I supposed to be learning? And you know, it's more important to God for you to learn faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and have faith. So we can't please him without faith. So it's more important for him, for you, to understand and have faith and really walk in faith than it is for you to be comfortable. Ooh, it's more important to him, for you to learn how to walk in faith than it is for you to be comfortable. This is where I'm at right now. It's why I'm sharing this today, because I really feel that God is teaching me something about faith that I cannot learn just by reading the Bible. I cannot learn by listening to someone's testimony. I cannot learn by being inspired. I cannot learn by wishing I knew it. I have to learn by actually walking through it, and you do too. You have to learn by walking through it. And you know what? If you fail 20 times, God is not angry with you, and he's got so much patience that he'll just let you keep going through that until you learn it. And that's been a revelation to me, that what I've been going through the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years, is all about faith. And then when I realized that, there felt like this safety net was under me. Like, so that led me to believe and to realize that if that's the case, if God's allowing these trials and I know he's with me, then I can't fail. I can't fail. I'm assured victory as a child of God, because God doesn't fail. So yes, I might take the test and make a C minus a couple of times, but I'm progressively getting better. And I think once I learn it at the level he wants, he'll release me from these circumstances. And I believe the same thing for you. I mean, sometimes it's timing. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I have no idea the exact specifics of it, but I can tell you with the snap of his finger or him just releasing one word, he can absolutely change your circumstance and my circumstance. Things could change in 24 hours, and that's biblical, and that's happened many times where it looked so bad for someone, whether it be the Israelites or whether it be someone like Joseph, you know, who gets in 24 hours, he goes from being imprisoned and being just going to die there to he's second in command to Pharaoh. And that's how quickly things can change, but they don't if we don't learn the lesson. And that's really all I want to say today, is if we don't start learning the lesson and start choosing better in these moments of trials, then we'll stay in that same pit. We'll stay in that same prison. We have to learn how to choose better, and we really do have a choice. That's what the enemy likes to tell you, is that you don't have a choice, just like the bully. He makes you think that you have to do what he says you have to do. You have to be afraid. You have to do whatever he says. You have to be hopeless. You have to be helpless. You're a victim. But that's not what faith is, and that's not what God wants us to learn. So I just want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in a place where you feel like fear is your God almost, it controls you, might it be that God is trying to teach you about faith? I don't even know if that's a correct sentence. Maybe God's trying to teach you about faith. Could that be what's really going on? Instead of you being victimized by your circumstances, constantly being beat up by things or people or situations, maybe God is saying, no, I want you to rise up, because you're not a victim, you're a victor. But until you learn how to walk in faith, you can't be. So I am just going to leave you with a few questions here. These are the kind of discussion questions that I put in the back of my chapters. Every chapter has some reflection questions. Then I have something called a treasure hunt, which I'm going to read to you. And then I have a prayer. This book is structured so that you could do this in a group setting. And I even tell you at the back of the book how to do it. So I'm going to just read you a couple of these questions. And just think about this. When did fear first begin shaping the way you see the world? Can you remember? Or is it just like, I don't know, I've always been this way and I don't even really know why. It might be worth it for you to figure out, when did this start and what lie did I believe? What situation did this happen in that's caused me to live like this? Because it's not that you can go back and fix it, and you obviously you can't, but if you can trace it back, you can deal with it at its root. Number two, are there situations where you automatically assume the worst outcome? I know I do. I do. I tell my husband that all the time. I said, you know, something will happen, and I'll go, well, you know, this is what's going to happen because this is what always happens. And this is something that I know displeases the Holy Spirit and that the Lord wants me to stop doing. He wants me to see the good. He wants me to trust Him. He wants me to have faith that even if it looks bad, He's still going to work it out. Number three, what lies about your safety, your future, or God's character might be fueling your fear? Can you identify it? What these lies are about your safety, your future, or God's character that are fueling your fear? Why do you believe that? Have you ever asked yourself, why do I believe this about God or about myself or about these situations? Why do I believe this? Can I really untangle that? Because if I can untangle it, I can get to the root and I can start to choose to walk in faith. Number four, in what ways has fear tried to bully or intimidate you into shrinking back? Can you identify that? Can you look at specific situations in your life and say, I can see how fear has caused me to shrink back in this area? Maybe you have these grand ideas and dreams that you feel like God's put in your heart, but when you try to step out to do it, you just shrink back because you're like, it's not going to work anyway. Number five, what would it look like for you to intentionally choose faith the next time fear tries to take control? Can you even see it? Can you visualize in your mind? Because oftentimes, if we can visualize it, then we can execute it when it happens. You can rehearse it almost. So here's the treasure hunt that I want to read you, and then I will wrap it up today. This week, begin paying attention to the places where fear quietly shows up in your life. Because fear doesn't always appear as something dramatic. Often it whispers through small thoughts and subtle assumptions. Watch for moments when you hesitate to move forward because you're imagining what might go wrong. Your mind immediately jumps to the worst possible outcome. You feel the urge to avoid something simply because it feels uncertain. You notice yourself trying to control a situation because trusting God feels risky. When these moments appear, pause and ask yourself a simple question. What would faith look like in this moment? Faith doesn't always mean making a huge dramatic move. Sometimes faith is simply choosing to trust God with the next step instead of letting fear decide for you. Write down anything you noticed this week. You may begin to see that fear has been quietly shaping more of your decisions than you realized. But you may also begin to notice something else. God is often inviting you to take a step forward right in the middle of those moments. And sometimes the path out of the mountain begins with one small step of faith. All right, friends, that was chapter one. If that spoke to you and you feel like this book is something you could use, then I encourage you to go to Amazon and just look up Choosing Better, Shanna Williams, and you'll find my book there. I'll put it in the show notes as well. Hey, do me a favor as we wrap this up. Go like and subscribe to my podcast wherever you listen. And I pray until next week, you are able to walk in faith and not fear.